All Scripture is given by divine inspiration. However, there are some passages and verses that seem to excel in conveying God's message to us because they pack significant truth and power in just a few words. And one of those verses, there are many of them. We could probably preach a whole year just from those kinds of verses, but just one of them is Hebrews 5:9. Are you familiar with that verse? It says, once made perfect, it's talking about Christ, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Christ, we learn in the book of Hebrews, is our high priest. In the Old Testament, they had a sacrificial system, and that sacrificial system was meant to bring the sins of the people to before God and to offer a sacrifice to sort of cover, in a way, the sins of the people. The prophets, you see, in the Old Testament spoke for God. They came from God and they brought God's message to the people. But the priests had a different role. They took the people's problems, their sins, and they brought sacrifices to God for the remission of sins. So you can see how people would be inclined to like the priests more than the prophets. The priest was a mediator between men and God because he always, every day, brought a sacrifice before God for the sins of the people. But the verse that I'm talking about tells us a number of things about Christ and about his work. First of all, I'd like you to notice his qualification. Hebrews 5:9 says that he was made perfect. Christ was made perfect. What does that mean? Does it mean that Jesus was less than perfect at some point? No, of course, Jesus was sinless. However, in the sense in which the word is used here, it means that he was completed. He was made complete as our great high priest. And how was that accomplished? We find out that if we read the previous verses, that he was made perfect. He was made complete through his obedience and through his suffering. That's how he became a Savior suitable in all respects to redeem lost people. His qualification, he was made perfect. He was made completed. If you look at the rest, at the next thing in the verse, we see something about his work. It says that he became the source or the author of eternal salvation. As the perfect high priest, he became a perfect sacrifice. The priests of Israel had first to bring sacrifices for themselves. Then they would go in and bring sacrifices for the sins of the people. But those sacrifices were not perfect, and they had to be brought over and over and over again. So this job never ended. But when Christ came, he brought one sacrifice once and for all. And this sacrifice cannot be repeated. For one sacrifice, he has made perfect, that word again, forever, those who have been, who are being made holy. Hebrews 10:4. The result was eternal salvation, not temporal, but eternal, not just for this life, but forever. To be saved means to be put in a right relationship with God, to have your sins forgiven, to get a new nature, and to start living according to the will of God. But you see, this is not for 20, 40, 60, 80, 100 years, but it is for all eternity. Not just here, but forever we have received this salvation. That's what our high priest accomplished. But for whom? Who gets to be in on that? And let's see the beneficiaries, those who obey him. All who obey him, says verse 9. What does it mean to obey? Because you see, the word obedience can mean a number of different things. But first and foremost, and in the context of this letter, it means to obey the gospel, to obey the good news that Jesus died for our sins and that we need to place our faith in him. And when we do that, then we are forgiven of our sins and we receive eternal life. And we have that assurance provided for us by God. See, the Hebrew believers to whom this letter was addressed were persecuted for their faith. And they were tempted to go back to the Old Testament sacrificial system, to go back to observing Jewish laws. And the Holy Spirit in this book strongly warns them against apostasy, about renouncing the faith. And that's especially in chapters 6 and 10. So instead of that kind of disobedience, God says that the gospel is what must be followed. So what does it mean to obey? What does it mean here to obey? Listen to this. Paul says in Romans 1:5, we have received grace and apostleship through him to bring about the obedience of faith among all nations. All people have to be brought to this obedience of faith, of believing in Jesus Christ for salvation. Paul also says in another place, he will punish, when Christ returns, those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news. Jesus also said, this is the work that God requires of you. You want to know what God wants from you? Do you know, you want to know what work God requires of you? Here it is, John 6:29. That you believe in him who he has sent. Over 150 times, faith in what God has done is directly related and linked to salvation in the New Testament. There's nothing else that, this cannot be said about anything else in the New Testament except faith. But second, I'd like you to notice that it means to have a pattern of life of obedience to the Word of God. I want us to be very clear about one thing. Salvation and eternal life is the gift of God. You pay nothing to get it at all. But salvation means a new life, a new purpose, new desires, a new orientation towards God. And once we say no to Christ, we say no to everything that means rebellion against God. Don't you know that if you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, asks Paul, you are slaves of that one you obey? Either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. And I believe that this is one of the great verses of the Bible that has a great message. We saw his qualification. Jesus is qualified, was made completed to be our great high priest. We saw his work. By his work, he accomplished eternal salvation. We saw the beneficiaries, those who obey him. And what is that obedience? Placing our faith in what Jesus has done at Calvary. That is what we're called to do. What about you? What about you? What are the things that you think, you imagine, that will make you right with God? A moral life? That's needed, but it falls way short. Good deeds, the Bible calls us to do that, but they're powerless to save. What about your service to God? All people should serve the Creator, but that's not enough either. So the question for you tonight is this. Have you obeyed Christ by trusting in him? The Bible declares that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, meaning God's holy standard. And that's a problem because the wages of sin is death. And death doesn't simply mean dying physically, but it means eternal separation from God, from everything that's good, from all the blessings that flow from being in God's presence, even on this earth. But isn't it great that the Bible doesn't stop there? Because Romans 6:20 continues by saying, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You can't work for it. God will not take you that way. You receive it freely because it's a gift. You can't pay for it. If you do want to work for it, then it's no longer a gift. So my invitation to you is don't reject God's grace. Don't refuse the offer of salvation. It's a foolish thing to do. Have you been obedient to Christ by placing your faith in him and by receiving the gift of eternal life? If you have, then live for the glory of God. Follow God's standards so that people may glorify God. And if you haven't, it is offered to you today, because today is the day of salvation. May God help you to take this step. Amen.